after service downstairs. There will be light snacks, and kids are welcome. So we will see you there. That's all I have for you.
Am I on? Well, before we get to the word today, turn to the person sitting to your left or your right and say, welcome, teammate. All right, I'll pray. Father, thank you for the word that we have in front of us. Thank you that it's inspired by your Holy Spirit. Thankful that it's useful and sufficient for every occasion. Lord God, we ask you to open the word this morning. Teach us more about Jesus. Teach us by the Holy Spirit, the helper, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I want to start with a question. Some of you have heard of this game called Would You Rather? It's a game that's been around for a very long time. One person poses a dilemma in the form of a question, and the other has to make a choice. They can be a good choice between two good things or between two bad things. So today's question is between two good things. If you had to choose, would you rather have Jesus at your side or the Holy Spirit in your heart? Which would you choose? Show of hands. Jesus at your side. Holy Spirit in your heart. Okay. Well, the room seems to be weighted one direction. At first glance, it seems like it might be better to have Jesus at your side, but the scriptures don't teach this. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7, we see evidence that Jesus and his disciples must have been playing this game, would you rather, on the slide I have for you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage if I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So it was actually to their advantage for Jesus to go away. And he did, so it's to your advantage to have God in you rather than God beside you. Right? And if we think about it, a human Jesus is limited to one place at one time. But the Spirit of God's not limited in space or time. He can be everywhere and in anyone at all times. And Jesus told his disciples, this is obviously better for them. So today is week 4 of our 6-week series to explain why. Good. All right, next slide. The battle. Have you ever been sleeping on a warm bed in a cold night and you're just completely rested, relaxed, having a good dream? Not a good dream, but a good dream. And let's say in your dream, because it's November, you're just sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner. And the turkey's been out of the oven resting, and now it's freshly sliced and steaming, and a mountain of gravy and a mountain of stuffing is on your plate. This river of gravy's coming down the mashed potatoes. And you say grace, and you pick up your fork, and bam, your alarm clock wakes you up. Your eyes snap open. You don't know what's going on for a moment. You're like, wait, what? What's going on? What day? What time is it? What day is it? It's good God, it's time to go to work. It's time to get up. And the birds aren't even up yet, but you are. And in a few minutes, you have to stumble out on that cold, dark morning and thank God for coffee and scrape the ice off the windshield and think about your drive to work where your to-do list never gets shorter. It only gets longer. And it's only 10 hours until you get to come home again. And don't forget the milk. And by the way, you're almost out of gas. It's a battle. It's this battle within. And you know you know what you got to do, but there's this pull from the other side. And you just want to close your eyes. And 5 more minutes is success. And then you need that bite of turkey dinner. And it's time to get up. And it's time to live like the God who saved you called you to live. And any of you ever wonder, like, how are you supposed to do that? So, see, all our lives, all our lives, once we're saved, there's this battle within and this pull between this new spirit and this old body. And in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus said, "But the advocate, the helper, the coach, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Now, this word believe is to be convinced of something. It takes faith to be convinced in something that you haven't seen. Jesus promised to send the disciples someone that they had never seen and they had never experienced. The good news is that when God makes a promise, when God says something is already true, he doesn't rely on you for it to be true.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're born in the flesh. We're born into this friend relationship, this state of being with our outer man, this outer person, this fleshly body, and hour by hour, day by day, there's this pull. And the focus of your heart and your spirit, your mind and your will and your emotions, they're dedicated to indulge your comfort and indulge your pleasure and indulge yourself. Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it.
Right.
Come on, that's what this pull says, and this friend relationship doesn't please God. It could not. So what are we supposed to do about this? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God, but there's this battle within. It's a would you rather kind of question. Would you rather believe what you can see, or would you rather believe the promise? So, when you believed, the Bible says, it tells us something really cool happened. You changed.
Yeah.
When God saved you, obviously he didn't save your physical body. It's the same body that you had before. It keeps getting older. And well, one day is going to die. But you can already consider it dead because you're no longer in that same relationship with your physical body and all of its passions and desires. God says you're now in fellowship. You're now in Christ. You're now alive in Christ. And he says that his spirit comes in to live with your spirit. He's a new spirit in an old body. And his spirit infuses your mind and your will and your emotions. And some of you are like, yo, Captain Obvious, like we know this already. Peace.
Yeah.
But so in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. See, I just need to make sure that we're all on the same page of the playbook. We have to remind ourselves of the basics, because this is good news. There is no such thing as a Christian who does not have the Holy Spirit. All those who believe. It does not depend on what you think. It does not depend on what your denomination is.
Yeah.
And it does not depend on your determination, your will. Now, speaking of going back to basics, those of you who are football fans know about a famous coach named Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
His football team won the first two Super Bowls, and the Super Bowl trophy is named after him. And we took over that winning team, that football team. They had not had a winning season for 15 years. And he figured out exactly what the problem was. He knew exactly what to do to help his team win. And his focus was on the basic principles of the game. He used the talents of his players on his team for their greatest advantage on the field. And he's maybe the most famous for how he motivated his team because he went back to the basics. One time, he stops the team and brings them together, and he lifts up a football, and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He goes back to the basics. So in the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus goes back to the basics with his disciples. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'll ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things." Now, the conversation never took place exactly like this, I'm going to do. So it wasn't too far off, though. So imagine with me how Jesus is similar to Vince Lombardi. Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the coach. You are the players. I am the way and the truth and the life. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And Peter speaks up and says, "Coach, you're going a little too fast." Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, he'll send you another helper and be with you forever. The helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So, are you with me? This is Jesus going back to the basics. He teaches you got to live by the basics as a Christian, just like you got to master the basics as an athlete. You will have confusion, and you will have conflict, and you'll have pressure, and you go back to the basics, then you'll have success. Yeah. In football, you run, you throw, you block, you tackle, you don't just fall on the quarterback anymore. You catch, you punt. Tell me this, have you ever seen a player get all mixed up when they switch sides on a quarter? And they're going the wrong way. Sometimes a player gets all mixed up, and they get the ball, and they get to thinking, this is my chance. And they take off running. I got this. And they start running the wrong way. And the crowd is like, "No, no, no." And the coach is like, "No, stop." And they got to listen to their coach, right? I mean, now visualize this. Your heart loves God. You find yourself in this struggle on the inside, and a conflict on the outside, and you get to thinking, okay, I got this. Life would be good if my flesh would behave itself. Life would be good if other people would behave themselves. Life would be good if things would just go good. And then things don't go good, you get frustrated. Or when things do go good, then you start to feel real good about your progress. And you're like, "Oh, I did that. Did you see that?" And you get to thinking, you got it going on. And better than they got it going on. And as a matter of fact, they just slow you down. Right? And they're your problem. And you're walking in this thing called self-righteousness. And you're running the wrong way on the field. You're not going to go where God wants you to go. Like the church in Corinth. They had problems. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The early church, they had a lot of problems. The members there wrote letters to Paul discussing their problems. So Paul's heard different points from the members there. He does something very practical for the church. He writes these letters to them to correct some of the problems that they had. Now, if you're tracking with me, some of their problems are some of our problems. They're problems that we have in the present day. So this letter, we'll call it 1 Corinthians. Some problems they had were moral problems, and we're not going to go there today. Another problem they had was contentions. There were divisions among them. One group in the church was like, "I like the teaching of Apollos." And the other was like, "Well, I follow Paul." And these groups were contending with each other, not unlike what we have here today, this week. Can you think of one way we have divisions like this today?
Yeah.
Well, I follow Fox News. Well, I follow CNN. I mean, they were divided. Each group had set themselves apart and decided that the others were bad.
Yeah.
And so we read through his letter, and we come to chapter 12. And the main problem seems to be about issues about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the subject of the next three chapters. So look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed.
Yeah.
In the King James Version, I like this. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant. And so Vince Lombardi session shaping up right there. Listen, don't be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, Gentiles, you were led away, led astray to mute idols. An idol is something that takes your focus away from God. It's a thing that you set your affections on and you indulge in excessive sinful attachment. It becomes your God. He says here, don't forget you used to be pagans.
Yeah.
You used to be capable of being deceived. You used to be captivated by stupid ideas and caught up and possessed and carried away like a prisoner by your emotions and your ideas. So don't bring that into your Christian faith. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Huh. If someone says Jesus is Lord, even when you think they're weird, even when they're different from you, even when you don't like them, they have the same Holy Spirit in them.
Yeah.
That you have in you. So you need to accept them as a brother or sister. Now, he says in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone.
Mm.
To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Good.
Paul's talking about spiritual gifts that God gives through the Holy Spirit, not human personalities. I know a guy at work, he's a real smart aleck, and he thinks he has the gift of wisdom because, according to him, he's always the smartest guy in the room. And then there's this other guy I've worked with in the past who's always setting other people straight because he's got this gift to discern. To discern means to distinguish, to see the difference between two things, two or more things, and he's always ready to tell you when you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
So he thinks he's either got the gift of discernment or he's prophetic. So, but these gifts are not, this is not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about spiritual gifts that are given supernaturally, a gift of the Spirit. So there's this idea. Now, there's this idea out there that says whenever there's a conflict, whenever there's a difference, whenever someone looks different, sounds different, acts different than you do, then you have to take sides. Now, there are divisions among them, these Corinthians. Like, one is like, I have the Spirit and you don't. I have this gift and you don't. My gift is better than your gift. Or, yo, listen to me speak in tongues. Ain't that cool? Isn't that beautiful? It's a heavenly language. But if you take a closer look, see, these gifts are not so strictly defined. Paul repeats these phrases, varieties of gifts. Not just one gift, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of gifts. Varieties of service, different ways to administer the gifts, different ways to minister, varieties of activities, different operation of the gifts, different ways to work out the gifts of the Spirit. But it's the same God that empowers them all and everyone. So Paul is saying, don't try to define those gifts in a way that promotes your particular ministry. Don't define it in a way that promotes your particular manifestation. Don't get so puffed up that you think the way that you work in your gift is the only way or the best way to work in that gift. He says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the church in Corinth was missing that point, judging by the scriptures that follow. See, they were viewing the gifts of the Spirit as sort of for their own individual benefit. Paul says, you're looking at it wrong. They're given by the Holy Spirit. They're not given so you can all get together and feel good. They're given by the Holy Spirit for the common good. They're given by the Holy Spirit to profit others. They're given by the Holy Spirit so you can serve others. That's the nature of these gifts. So then we see this list of gifts. Now I'm going to take a different angle on this than maybe you've heard before. Because Paul doesn't go define each gift. He just lists them. Okay? So visualize this. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To still another, interpretation of tongues. And another, and another. Okay. There's more, right? See, if we look at it this way, the point is actually what happens next. The next verse reads, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. See, you people in Corinth, each of you have different kinds of gifts. One has to do with wisdom. Another has to do with knowledge. One has the gift of faith. Another, gifts of healing. Note that it doesn't say the gift of healing, but gifts of healing. So I don't remember reading in the Bible that God gave anybody the ability to heal anyone at any time. So it seems that gifts of healing means each individual healing is a gift. So, and I think, okay, who can I think of? I was studying the life of Paul. So in Acts 14, some Jews stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. But after that, the disciples gathered around him, and he got up and went back into the city. That was a gift of healing. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was preaching until midnight, and it must have been a real doozy because a young man fell asleep and fell out the third-story window. And Paul went down and threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him and said, don't be alarmed, he's alive. That's a gift of healing. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul writes them back to the same church. He goes, writes about a thorn in his flesh that three times he prayed to the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. So that was not a gift of healing, right? So even Paul, he didn't heal everybody at any time. Different times of healing, different kinds of healing, different reasons for healing. It's not always the same. Faith is a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
There are all kinds of a need for faith. One has the gift of faith in God to do something in politics. Another has a gift of faith for her daughter off at the university that her faith would stay strong.
Yeah.
Right? One of you has a gift of had the gift of faith that your husband would get that job.
Come on.
And he did. Another has a faith for healing. One of you has a faith for her marriage. Another is like, dear God, please send money. I'm so broke it ain't even funny. Right? Right? There are all kinds of needs for faith, for God to put some faith in your heart that you don't have. Yeah. And then you can believe God in that moment, in that context, and God works a little miracle for you. And you might not even know that you had that gift of faith, but others of us just marvel at how you never gave up.
Yeah.
And so look at faith as a gift of the Spirit. Look at that last verse, verse 11, says, and all these are the work of one and the same Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So he gives one man one gift and another gift. And the church is known by the different manifestations and operations of the different gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Good.
And the purpose is that so God is glorified.
Good.
As each of you operate according to the gifts that you receive. And he goes on. It's like a body.
Yeah.
Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, everyone just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? One part can't say to the other part, I don't need you.
Yeah.
The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Paul's still talking about divisions and contentions in the body here. So he's telling them what's what, and we need to learn this in every church. Yeah. There is no A team and B team. You're all on the same team.
Come on. Come on.
Right? Let's keep reading. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 12:24. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another, each other.
Good.
If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Good.
And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. But are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries of all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so I can boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All these gifts are good. But there's one thing you have to understand God's saying to you right here. It's like this is a football moment. Paul is like, if you don't walk in love, you got nothing.
Good.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Good.
But where there are prophecies, that's a gift. They will cease.
Yeah.
Where there are tongues, that's a gift. They will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, that's a gift, it'll pass away. He keeps going. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Yeah. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see just a reflection like in a mirror. Then we'll see Jesus face to face. Good. Now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Yeah. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Do you see? I'm already in chapter 14 already.
Yeah.
Right? This is one topic. This is one continuous purpose. All these gifts are so cool. Paul says, I'm going to show you something better.
Yeah.
One day, all these gifts are going to pass away like child's play. Now, we know in the end, they don't mean a thing. They all add up to nothing compared to this. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Those are what are going to remain. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love. We usually hear about this at weddings. We talk about love because people are in love. And Paul didn't just stop and talk about love. Paul's talking about the church.
Yeah.
There has to be love for one another. There has to be love despite your differences. There has to be love despite the different gifts from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, it's like Paul's going back to the basics.
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, y'all got the same Holy Spirit.
Right.
Just working in different ways and different people.
Good.
Don't forget to act like it. Don't get a swelled head. Don't get puffed up with pride. Yeah. You may be trying to do something good. Right? But when you force people to go the way you want them to go, when you try to make it work the way you want it to work, when you try to make it happen when you want it to happen, just like that, you end up divided from one another, contending with one another, picking sides, and blaming others, and your hearts become hard, and you don't have love.
Good.
Just like that, you're like that guy. That football player that's running the wrong way. He's so worried about his situation and himself, he's running the wrong way. He's not listening to his coach, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Who says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself? So let's take one more analogy from football. After all, it's Sunday, right? And it's going to encourage you because the principle in this example, it works the same way in your life. If you ever play football, if you ever watch football, you run, you throw, you block, you tackle, you catch. Sometimes you just gotta punt. To have to punt is not a mistake. To have to punt is not a failure. To have to punt is not a loss. You know, you got 4 attempts to go 10 yards. This is for those who are not football fans. If you can't make the 10 yards, you have to do something. You kick the ball to the other team. Then the other team takes control. That means you don't have control, do you? It didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. God knows about all that. It feels like you're starting over, but at the same time, you're closer to your goal. You're closer to where you want to go. It's tempting for the quarterback to lose his head and throw the ball away, trying to force that first down. You know what? You don't always make that first down. You don't always make the 10 yards. You don't always do as well as you should do. It's okay. God knows about all that. You lost the ball, but you didn't lose the game. That ball is still closer to where you want it to go. Some of you are like, what's he telling me about? I'm telling you this because it's the same way sometimes when things in your life don't work out the way you want it to work out. Sometimes it feels like you're starting over. But God knows about all that.
Come on.
Get back to the basics. God knows about all that you're going through. And he puts you in difficult situations to grow and to build the muscles of your faith. And he's got the most excellent way.
Yeah.
You're closer to where God wants you to go. And you don't just have a coach at your side. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside.
Come on.
And you got to listen to him as your coach. Coach says, tell you this. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose.
Yeah. Good.
If the worship team is here, they can come up. You got to listen to your coach. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's a daily way to walk. It's being conscious of God's presence. You let your mind and your heart and your attention focus on God. And you have the spirit of fellowship and communion and peace that will rule in your heart. It's walking in a state of communion, walking after the Spirit. When I'll take a walk with my wife down our road. And when we're walking together, we're in fellowship and communion with each other. And I'm aware of her next to me. And we talk, and we listen, and we're going the same direction. And in the same way, I can walk with the awareness of God's presence. I can take a walk, just me and him. I can walk with the same awareness of his presence as I have when my wife walks with me. When we walk together. When that alarm wakes me up in the morning, I can say, good morning, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. In the book of Acts, we get a witness from Peter. This is about the Holy Spirit. He says, this is the promise that you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This promise is for every believer that calls on the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we finally shucked it down to the heart of the matter. We've got something to celebrate, church. God knows what you're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
You can say that a couple of ways. God knows what you're going through. Like, I don't know. No, God knows what you're going through. The ultimate good is not your pleasure, your comfort, or your satisfaction down here. The ultimate good is the condition of your heart. To love God and love others like God loved you. We can celebrate. God is on our side. The Holy Spirit will take what you got and work it out for your good. God, he never lets a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah. That's true.
God has his goal. He has his goal. In the end, God's goal is to bring you to a place where you're conformed to the image of his son. A place, it's like visualize a football diagram. You run here, you run there, you run there, you go there, you pray for him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you got this, you get to this place of love and joy and peace, a place of trust and goodness and trust and faith and patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control. That's the ultimate goal, right? That this love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Spirit, you walk with the Holy Spirit and your life will have the fruit of the Spirit. You can believe this. You can rest in this. Tell yourself that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ because the Holy Spirit is living in you. You are a new creation, and God, being rich in mercy, made you alive together with Christ. That's real. So continue to put your trust in him. Continue to put your confidence in him. Continue to put your hope in him. You can love like God says you can love. You can give like God says you can give. You can think like God says you can think, and God will be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song together, and then I'll come back up and pray. All right.
You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. It's the Lord, your promises to me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Come on, you will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me.
Father, thank you for your grace. Sometimes we learn so slowly, but you know that. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for going away and sending the best coach, the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, your helper, your comforter. Holy Spirit, thank you for making the Word of God alive in our hearts. Thank you for being the best coach ever. Thank you, Lord, that you work all things together for good for all of us who are called by your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, you're released.